The gospel today is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. You can follow along in your Bibles if you like, in your pew Bibles or your own Bible. In the pew Bibles, it's on page 690. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to the parable of the sower. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell in good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you will cause your word to fall upon us, upon good soil, that we may hear it, understand it, and bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. That verse from Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, that we heard a little bit earlier, read by Joel. I'm going to read a portion of that here. We hear about how God causes the rain to come down from the heavens, rain and the snow, and it waters the earth. It accomplishes what it's supposed to be doing. And then he says this, that those people who hear it, not the people, but the land that receives it, bears fruit. And then eventually it's food for people, and it's also seed to plant more. Then he says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." It's going to accomplish what God wants it to do. God's word is shared, and it's effective because that's the way God made it. He gives life. He's done such. There's one pastor, a man I knew probably about 12 years ago, he wrote that the understanding of the parables was a gift of God. Kind of like we heard these disciples, they had wisdom and a knowledge of the kingdom of heaven because God gave it to him. A gift of the Holy Spirit is what this is. The parables are a gift of God. Parables are not taught, but rather revealed by God. That's why God chose to use them. Everyone, I'd like to think we know that the gospel is supposed to be taught and spread out to all nations and all peoples. And we know there are some people, most likely, who have not heard it, but God is a fair judge and a wise judge. But you know, we get this picture of this sower who goes out and sows seed, and it's not like we do around here. There's not this high-tech precision, depth of planting and distance from each seed. These seeds are broadcast. They're thrown all over the place. That's what the sower does. We're reminded in this parable, I wonder, can soils change? Well, we know that, right? I mean, we know that rocks can be taken out of soil. We know that manure can be added. We know that thorns can be taken out. Just yesterday, on my daughter's side of the garden at our house, on the north side of there in the west end, I pulled a whole bunch of thistles. Man, these sharp buggers I'd never seen before. I don't know what they're called, but I should find out what they're called and then ban them, you know. It's like bad. They were growing up on their side because they can't come out as often and weed. Well, long story short, it's going to be better now. Those other plants are going to have more water and more sunlight. It's a good thing. I think soils can change. Keeping that in mind, we also know that no soil, no person is good, because only God is good, right? But I think that the soils can change. Not that it's them doing it, but it's God working in them. God's the one who makes us good by the hearing of his word, right? Because there's nothing good in us, the scripture says, yet we can have God's word and God himself living in us. Good soil receives the word, it hears it, it understands it. Now, again from Isaiah 55:11, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word is powerful. It accomplishes what he wants. Now, there's some verses, 16 and 17, in our lesson today. It talks about people who place their trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that they're blessed, because people long before them wanted to hear those things, but they didn't get to. It makes me just think how blessed we are to have the Word of God in so many languages and so available to us, right? It's amazing. We are really blessed. Keeping that in mind too, we pray that it is God who makes us good soil. We have the seed on the path, the seed that falls on that path. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, it says, the evil one comes and snatches it away. Why would people not understand it? Why is that? We can blame the devil. Of course, he does get blame in this situation. He's a very real and fierce opponent. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is a fierce adversary. Does this mean that people will never hear the word and understand it? No. But it means that that time, when it was thrown down, it wasn't received, it wasn't understood, because Satan grabbed it away for whatever reason, however he does it. We know that Satan is like not only a prowling lion looking for someone to devour, but he's also a thief. He's the one who steals it, remember, from the heart. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's what Jesus said. So, this is why it's so important not to give up on people who we might consider the path, you know, where you see nothing growing. Don't give up on them, because God's going to continually cast that seed out, and we don't know where they're going to be tomorrow. or what's going to happen in their life that's going to move them from that place. They might be very callous now, but doesn't mean they always will be. Don't give up on people. God has given them ears to hear too. And Jesus said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. God will keep on sowing his word. So must we. God will do that through us, I believe. And God will continue to have rain fall all over the earth and also to have his word fall on, even on that path that looks like there's no way anything could grow there. Also, I think of the seed on the rocky soil. It's a rocky soil now. There's going to be a little bit of soil, you know, good soil, like we think of in the midst there. A person hears the word and receives it with joy, but he or she has no root, and they last only a short time until our persecution comes because of the word, and they quickly fall away. That's why I think when we hear from missionaries or hear from, especially people who are being persecuted in other parts of the world, they'd say, pray for us. We may not ever be able to go there, but we can pray for them that they remain faithful amidst the persecution. So crucial. That's one of the top prayer requests because they want to be faithful. They want to trust God through it all. The seed on rocky soil. Joy is the response. They've got joy. They get it for a little time. But having deep roots is clearly essential. Why would people not have deep roots? It's a fair question. That person may have received Jesus and they had this experience, but maybe that's all that they got. Maybe their experience was based on emotion more than God's word. There's nothing wrong with emotion, but they are not a foundation for faith. And some people might confuse that. They might think, oh, if they don't feel close to God, if they don't have an experience, then they're not with God. This person may have received Jesus at a Billy Graham crusade, because many people have. For whatever reason, they did not pay attention to their instructions to read the Bible daily, to find a Bible-believing church. And then, when tough times come, they fall away. It might be because they didn't know that these things would happen. They might think, God's abandoned me, but he hasn't. Maybe because they did not hear the word on a regular basis. 7 days without food, we know, makes one weak, right? Likewise, even without God's word, we too will become weak. Maybe because they relied on hearing God from family members and took no ownership in themselves. I remember a good example of a family that I knew where this couple had some children. They were older, adult, and their parents had made them read one chapter a day before they went outside to play or to work or whatever. I thought that was really good, you know. I don't know how they did it exactly, but I also know that the Benham brothers, who have spoken in our area in Fargo for different events, they too were made by their parents to spend time. I don't know how much they had. I can't remember offhand what it was, but it's not normal. It was like a chapter. It was like a fair amount of time. And their dad took it very seriously, and so they did too. And they catch their dad when they weren't supposed to. You know, they catch him on his knees or catch him reading the word or praying. And people have to pick it up for themselves and with God's help so that they will have it as their own. And then I think when they're reading the word, when they're praying, when they're having those deeper, they get deeper roots. Instead of just on the surface of feeling good or things going well, therefore they believe in God. God sowed seed among also the, so we had the path, we have the rocky place, and we also have amongst the thorns. The seed fell amongst there. Where is this life happened? We know that those are like, don't we? We know that worries come. We know that concerns and tragedies and difficulties happen. In Matthew 6, we hear Jesus say this. This is like six chapters earlier than today. Do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Have you noticed that worries and faith don't go hand in hand? Actually, that worries, when we worry, we're not trusting. God calls us to trust Him, not to worry. And then, of course, those seeds that were sown amongst the thorns, there was also the deceitfulness of wealth. It would choke the plant growing and make it unfruitful. I think this is a downfall for most Western countries. Most countries that are industrialized and have, you know, even the poverty income is so much higher than all the rest of the world. And I heard, I think it was India, I heard just recently on the news that back when they went from $1,000 a year to an average of $11,000 a year in their free market economy. It was amazing, 11 times as much as they're making before. But when we are dependent and receiving all the things we need, this wealth we get and have money to buy foods and the essentials of life, it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? So easy for other things to pop up, entertainment, free time to go do things and so on. People with wealth tend to have more than enough of daily bread. They may think that they all have what they need. And I remember people from other countries saying that they had to pray, one man in particular had to pray that the lights would come on. That simple thing. We only do that when the lights go out. You know, every day they do not know if the power was going to work. I just read in a thing from Ruthie Wagner, you know, missionaries, that they had lost power to their house because of a power surge in the city. You know, we are so used to having things on a regular basis. We have it so good here. We really do. It's not bad. But the thing is, do we forget to depend upon God, and do things distract us? Wealth is deceptive. Why would they need to ask God for anything if they already have what they need? They don't rely on God or give thanks to God then. Wealth takes the place that God should have in their life. That's the deceitfulness of wealth. They focus on the physical and ignore the spiritual. Wealth can be very deceptive. But still, God throws seed on people in those situations as well. He sows His word. We know that seed, of course, is sowed on good soil too. He scattered on all the soils, all the peoples. They received the word, they heard it, and they understood it. That's the key. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we pray that You would remove the rocks. Help us, God, to remove the rocks in our lives. Lord God, we pray that You will help us to remove the thorns. Take the thorns away. Lord God, we pray that You would add fertilizer. Nourish us, God. We want our roots to go down deep so when difficulties come, we can be leaning strongly and firmly on You. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would make the conditions right in our lives so that we completely trust You. Move our hearts. We pray that You would scatter Your word all over the place, God. Have it fall upon all peoples and all places. And Lord God, help us to receive Your word. Protect us from the evil one. Help us to have deep roots in You. Receive Your with joy, but have deep roots, God. We know that there are trials and worries in this world. And we pray that Your word is not choked out by them. Help us to cut down and uproot those things. Remind us that You are God and not our riches. Make us good soil to receive Your word, to hear it, to understand Your precious word, so that we might bear fruit for You, God, more fruit than we can possibly imagine, all to Your praise and glory. Thank You, God, for Your generous giving of Your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.